So the passage is Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 to 23. Chapter 2, starting from verse 13. They escaped to Egypt. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted, because they are no more." The return to Nazareth. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who are trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene.
Thank you, Andre. Now what we're going to do, we're going to need the passage open. So Matthew chapter 2, the passage that Andre read for us. And I'm going to ask a few questions as we go through the passage. And the answers are in the passage, but the answers are also in this little puzzle here, which I hope you can you see? Can you see those letters okay at the back? Yes. Can you see them okay? So, John, do you want to take your glasses off and see if you can read that? Well, do you want to put them back on and see if you can read it? Yes. Okay, this is a bit like going to the opticians, isn't it? But there is a reason for this. So the answers to the questions are in this. And I'm going to need just someone to help me, someone who's reasonably tall, because we're going to be crossing off some of these letters. Joe, would you be willing to come and help me? Okay, so we've got a pen somewhere. So when we find the words that we're looking for, you can go and stand up on there, and then, you know, when you've done your job, you can just sit on the stage here next to me. Okay, so here's the first question. And the question is, how did God warn the wise men? How did God warn the wise men? And you have to just go just a bit before our passage. So we're looking at verse 12. Jed. Okay, the angel came. So, an angel came to Joseph, to the wise men in a dream. So, what we're going to do is the word. One of those words should be on there, beginning with D. We're going to cross every other word. That means not the next one, but the one after that. So, can you see dream there? Every other word. Sorry. Did I say word? Oh, good, you're listening, that's great. Okay, every other letter, sorry, Joe. So beginning with D, so can we see a D? Yeah? Yeah, cross it out, yeah. Cross it out, that's it. That's it? Dream, have we got a dream there? Yeah. Just checking. So you can use it down. So he did. He warned them in a dream. Look at verse 12. Having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Herod's secret plan, you see, his secret plan was to murder the new king. That's what he wanted to do. And it wasn't a secret to God. It was a secret to everybody else, but it wasn't a secret to God. God knew. And no one can hide anything from God. That's what we need to understand. No one can hide anything from God. So God warned the wise men not to go back to Herod. He made absolutely sure that the wise men did not go and tell Herod where Jesus was. So the question is, who's in control here? Is it God or is it Herod? Herod thought he was in control, but who's in control? God is in control. God is always in control. He is the real king. Question number two. So we're looking for a word. Who did God send to warn Joseph of Herod's plans? So he warned the wise men. Who did God send to warn Joseph of Herod's plan? Okay. Yeah, Karis? An angel. Can you see can you see the word angel up there? Can you, Joe? Okay, so every other word. Every other letter. Yes. 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 That's it. A-N-G-E-L. What does that spell, Karis? Angel. Yeah, look at verse 13 with me. Look at verse 13. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So not only does God warn the wise men not to go back to Herod, he also warns Joseph about Herod's plans, and he tells him to escape to Egypt with Jesus and Mary. And that's just what he did. He left for Egypt, and he stayed there until after Herod's death. Who's in control of the situation? God. God's in control of the situation. God is the real king. Herod thought he was. Herod thought he called the shots. But he didn't. God does. God is the real king. Third question. So we're going on in the passage now. Who did God say these words through? It's a bit more difficult, this. Who did God say these words through? Out of Egypt I called my son. And you need to look at verse 15. Okay, there's a clue. And there's a word on there. Okay, thanks, Holly. Prophet. There's prophet on there. Every other letter. Beginning with the next, the P. Yep, there's prophet. Okay, so off we go then, Joe. Yep. Prophet. Yeah, that's true. Verse 15. Joseph took the infant Jesus and with Mary went to Egypt where they stayed until after Herod's death. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophets. Out of Egypt I called my son. Here's an amazing thing. God had said this would happen hundreds of years before it happened. And it happened just as God said. Isn't that amazing? It's absolutely astonishing. Whose plan is working out? Herod's or God's? Whose plan's working out? God's. God's plan's working out. Who's in control? God's in control. God is always in control. God is the real king. So now there's Jesus. He's in Egypt. And he's safe from Herod. But Herod doesn't know it. And he is livid that the wise men have not come back to him, that he's been foxed by them and off they've gone. He's absolutely furious. He wants to know where this newborn king is. But now he doesn't know because the wise men have done a runner. And so what does he do? Who can tell me what Herod does? Yeah, he kills every newborn under a certain age. Every newborn boy. It's a terrible, terrible thing, isn't it? Terrible slaughter happened in Bethlehem. So he went to Bethlehem, the place where the king was going to be born. And he said, I'm just going to get him one way or the other. Here's the time frame. So the child must have been born between then and then. And everyone who's been born between that year and that year, or that month and that month, I'm just going to kill him. And he did it. Terrible, terrible thing. That's what Herod did. All the young boys slaughtered. But notice what Matthew says in verse 17. This, what was said through the prophet was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and refusing to be comforted for they are no more. Now, We need to know that Herod's actions were absolutely terrible. They were awful. They were evil. They're diabolical. But God told the writers of the Old Testament, the prophets, all about Herod's actions hundreds of years before they happened. Nothing takes God by surprise. God always knew what Herod would do. Herod wanted to spoil God's plan of a new king. A king who would rule Israel and rule the world, but he couldn't. So the question is, who's in control here? God's in control. Not Herod, God. God is in control. God is the real king. Now we see something else. Just further on in verse 23, we see another Old Testament prophecy fulfilled. If you have a look at verse 23, Mary and Joseph and Jesus return to Israel. And they're warned not to make their home in Judea, which was like Bethlehem, Jerusalem area, but to make their home in the north. They weren't to make their home in the south because Herod's son was ruling there. So they go north and they live in a town called Nazareth. And look at verse 23. So was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophets. He, that's the king, the Messiah, will be called a Nazarene. What God said he would do, he did do. Who's in control? God's in control. God's in control. He's the one running the show. He's the real king. Now, this giving of prophecy and fulfillment of prophecy is something that distinguishes Christianity from every other religion. No other religion makes claim of promises fulfilled in this way. This is one of the ways in which the real God shows us that he is the real God. By saying what he's got going to do in advance and then doing it. The God of the Bible is the real God. Now, last question. Last question. I think we've got one more word to find. And the answer's in verses 19 to 20. And the question is, what happened to Herod? What happened to Herod? John? He died. Can you see the word died on there? Yeah? Can you, Joe? Okay, yes, we've got the word died, and that's what happened to Herod. He died. Look at verse 19 and 20. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." Herod's plan failed. His wicked plan failed. He was unable to stop God's plans. In fact, he only ended up fulfilling them. So who's in control? Leona? God's in control. God is always in control. God is the real king. That's what we're learning here. Now, we see this, don't we, as we look down history. Down the years, many, many people, and many powerful people, many leaders and kings like Herod have tried to stop God's plans. They've tried to wreck God's plan to save people from their sins and bring them into his eternal kingdom. Many, many attempts to spoil Jesus' plan to build his church. So think of Nero in the Roman world. Think in this country of Queen Mary at the time of the Reformation. Think of Hitler in Germany, Chairman Mao in China. Think of Ceausescu in Romania. Think of ISIS and that Islamic State in Syria and Iraq and what they're trying to do today. These people in the past and in the present do their utmost to try and do away with the truth of Christianity. But where is Nero today? And where is Queen Mary today? And where is Hitler today? And where's Chairman Mao today? And where's Ceausescu today? They're dead. They're dead. Like Herod. Their plans failed. And where is Jesus Christ today? Well, he's alive, and he's been raised. And where's his church? His church is all over the world, flourishing, growing. In spite of terrible persecution, the church is growing all over the world. Isn't that wonderful? Now, one thing we need to understand, and this is really important to understand, is this, that God can't be blamed. God can't be blamed for the evil deeds of wicked people. But he's so powerful and so in control that he does use their bad plans and their evil actions to bring about his good and perfect plan. And what we're going to do, if we copy out, now there's some letters remaining, so not the ones crossed out, there's letters that haven't been crossed out. If we copy those letters out, what we have is something wonderful about God, something that our passage has been telling us. So let's copy them out. So do you want to, what's your writing like, Joe? What's his writing like, Mum and Dad? It's fine, is it? Okay. So if you just write it, you know, write it here, across, all the way across. There's a few words. So should we give him the first letter? Just shout it out. What's the first letter? G. Second letter? O. Third letter?
G.
Okay, that looks like a word to me. Does that look like a word to you? God. Next letter? It's a new word. A new word this time. I. S. New word? New word. A. Oh, I don't know. I'm not very good at making decisions like that. Doesn't matter. Go on to the next one. Next letter?
L.
Yeah. Keep coming. Keep shouting. W. Louder. Okay, stop. So God is always. New word. New word now. New word. Oh, keep shouting them. Finished, is that it? Is that all the letters? Fantastic, thank you. Thank you, Joe. You can go and sit down now. And there we've got this wonderful truth. It's been there all through the passage. Let's say it together. God is always in control. God is always in control. That is just what we need to remember as we enter another year, isn't it? It can be very, very hard to understand why God allows bad things to happen. But the Bible tells us that God is good, that God is loving, that God is wise, and He is always in control, even when things are frightening, even when things are difficult. So through everything that's happening in our world, everything that's happening in our country, in our families, in our lives, God is always in control. Always. God rules today. He rules in your home. He rules in your family life. He rules in your school. He does. He rules in your university. He rules in your work. He rules in the world. He rules in Geneva. He rules in Chester. He rules in Nigeria. He rules in Syria and in Iraq. He rules. He rules when bad things happen. And that is good news for us as we prepare to enter another year. The Bible tells us something else as well. And this has got me really excited this week. I've been thinking about this. It's a wonderful, wonderful truth. I'm going to finish with this. If we're Christians, so if we've repented of our sin and put our trust in Jesus and we belong to God through Jesus, if we're Christians, the God who is always in control is always with us. He's always with us as well. How about that? That's brilliant, isn't it? At his birth, Jesus, in Matthew chapter 1, is given the name, which means God with us. Who can tell me what name it was? It means God with us. Yeah. Emmanuel. He's given that name. Emmanuel. God with us. He is still that today. He's God with us today. And at the end of Matthew's gospel, when Jesus is about to leave his disciples and ascend into heaven, he says this. He says, I am with you always. I'm with you always. And if you're a follower of Jesus today, that's a promise for you. I am with you always. Do you think he's able to keep that promise? Yeah, you reckon? I think he is. He's able to keep that promise. Of course he is. We can see it for ourselves. Born of a virgin in Bethlehem, just as promised. Safe in Egypt, just as promised. Growing up in Nazareth, just as promised. Dying on the cross for our sins, just as promised. Raised from the dead on the third day, just as promised. God always does what he says he's going to do. Jesus is God with us always. If he says he'll be with us, he will be. He is with us every second, of every minute, of every hour, of every day, of every week, of every year. He is with us always. God is always in control, and God is always with us. What brilliant news to head into a new year with, isn't it? He's always in control, and he's always with us. Let's pray. Dear Father God, please help us to trust you this coming year. Please help us to do that even when it's hard and when we don't fully understand all that you're doing. Help us to remember that you are always in control and that you are always with us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.